Yeah, North of yeah, I play. I know Kim Rowe. I used to play Kim like Kirby.
Good. Go ahead.
All right. He would climb in the garage and cause havoc. And...
What can't say, John?
I don't hear any music.
Yes. Calvin, you got the music cued? Clear
out all the old it's playing.
Can't hear him. Clear
out the old folks. Oh, there. Okay.
August 27th, 2022. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Alderman for Life, Don Brown, here at the mobile offices of former Alderman Don Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Tent, here at the Waukesha Farmers Market on a beautiful, cool Saturday morning. Has some fall breeze in the air. And I'm joined by Calvin back at the official office of former Alderman Don Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios at 217 Wisconsin Avenue in the NAMI building, right around the corner from Theodora Humans Park, where we're proud to honor our suffragette tradition. And I have a special guest with us this morning. I know we mentioned a lot of Waukesha South athletics, and it's time to give Waukesha North their due. So
hey, attaboy.
I'm pleased to have the varsity baseball coach of Waukesha North, Don Radomski. Don, say hello.
Hello out there. Yeah, this is Don Radomski. Thank you for having me, Don. I really appreciate it. I've been coaching here. This is my fifth year, I believe. So it's nice to get a little PR. So I appreciate it.
Happy to do it. Happy to support you guys. And, you know, I'm sure the Waukesha world's like, why has Don got a baseball coach on when football season's already started here in Wisconsin?
It is football time.
It is still baseball season. And there is a lot of people that go for fall ball. In fact, we lose a few football players to fall ball every year. We have guys doing both.
Sure.
And then,
sure.
Yeah, I know you've got an off-season regiment for your players, which we can talk about later. But Don is also he's also a football fan and a football dad. His son Jonah plays varsity for North. And what happened to them last night?
Big W last night for the North Stars. Yeah, it was great. It's fun. As a dad, I have to put my coaching cap aside, and I'm not involved with the football program as far as the coaching goes, but in over my heels with being dad, and it's fun. My son Jonah is inside linebacker for the North Stars, and get some time in the backfield too. If they got a number one with Aiden Zerbel back there in the backfield, who does a tremendous job for those guys. But if Zerbel needs a break, or last week he had some cramping issues, sure. And my son got a chance to get in there too. But hey, last night, big win. North Stars had not won. We were going back. We were laying around our phones checking it, third quarter, which was probably prematurely, if you guys know how the game went.
Oh, but, yeah, yeah.
It's 21-0, and we're checking the phones, and we're going, when's the last time we had a win? It was almost 2 years.
That's in my 10 games. Yeah.
Yeah. And my son, Jonah, because of injuries and stuff like that, he had not won in a game. He had not played in a game that he had won since going back to late seventh grade here. So, for all the time and effort that he's put in, it was great for those guys to just come together. And just, I hope they just soak that in and enjoy that W.
Sure. Now, you're there as a proud father, but you're also, in some ways, you're a proud father of more than one, or a nervous father, because your starting pitcher is a starting quarterback for North.
Yeah. It's fun.
AJ Curtis?
AJ Curtis, who does a tremendous job. Yeah, AJ Curtis, who is the starting quarterback for the North Stars, who is also our number one pitcher on the mound, which we have a lot of multi-sport athletes. So when I'm out there watching football, there's quite a few baseball players that we have and basketball players. A lot of those athletes play multi-sports, which is fantastic. So I'm out there as a fan, but yeah, no doubt about it. I'm watching AJ anytime he's running with the ball or he's holding the ball longer and getting hit. Always watching that backfield to make sure AJ's getting up and moving. And last night he did. He got up from every hit. He took every hit really well and actually ran the ball last night fairly well on some pretty key plays. So it was fun to watch.
That's great to watch. So I'm going to put my proud dad hat on for a sec, and we're going to stick on football for the moment. And Waukesha South had a thriller last night, changing leads as a scoreless, almost a scoreless first half. They went to the locker room down 7-6 to West Dallas Nathan Hale, and it was at the West Dallas Athletic Complex that both high schools there share. Beautiful facility, by the way, brand new turf. And things weren't looking good. They're trailing third quarters, 13-6, just weren't able to move the ball. And then in the last like 5 minutes, I think there was like 5 lead change. So there was like, anyway, South is leading 24-19 with seconds left. And my son, Evan Stout, had the game-winning interception to
Sweet.
Put the game on ice at the 2-yard line. He caught it at the 2-yard line, ran it back and out of bounds. And boy, it was really, that was crazy. It was something. And to see the celebration after the game, it was really, really a special night. So
that's
congrats
awesome.
To Coach Wiltz and the Blackshirts on a really resilient effort. You know, they had 2 penalties in the first game all day. And one of them
wow.
was on an extra point, which you can live with. But they probably had maybe close to a dozen. So, you know, a lot of mental mistakes, and
sure.
That was par for the course. They played Dale last year. Yeah. So, but they hung tight and they came back when they had to. Some amazing touchdown passes from Jack Tadioka and some great touchdowns. Like Chris Flowers had essentially the game winning touchdown, Chris Hothouse Flowers. So a very exciting time for the Blackshirts. And, we'll be talking about that more in our pregame next week when we broadcast the Blackshirts home opener next Friday, September 2nd against Oconomowoc. It's also the Classic Eight, you know, conference opener. So, and I'm sure with North, you know, injuries cost the team dearly, especially like I said, we had a starting lineman named Evan Marks, goes both ways. Had a pretty significant injury. I believe it was his Achilles.
We're
terrible. Not sure. Yeah. So that's, and then Big Daddy Caleb Pullman also injured a finger at nose tackle. So it looks like he'll be back for the next game. But
hats off to Southgate. You know, my son Jonah, he hangs around with a lot of those South guys.
Yeah, full disclosure, Jonah, Don's son Jonah, goes out with my daughter Jordan. They've had a great courtship that's lasted, 2 years?
They really do. They've built a really good friendship. And
very grateful.
It's fun to have Jordan around as another part of our family for the for the summer. It's been a lot of fun. So, but I tell you what, yeah. So seeing all those South kids excel in football, I know like a lot of those guys are hanging out at the house and get to know those guys. And so it's a lot of fun to see North and South both win last night.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping those kids are celebrating today. I'm sure they got Saturday days off. So hopefully they're hanging out together and having
a
good
time. South, because they have a coach from Texas, they do their practices on Sunday now.
Saturdays gotcha.
For the youth football. Just like in Friday Night Live.
Sure. Yeah, Saturday, a lot of youth football going on today. Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, okay, we got 5 minutes. So, hey, let's go back to baseball here. That's why we got Coach Don here, but he is a all-around fan. Actually, one thing I got to give Don a hard time about, and I promise, no low blows, but you played high school ball at St. Thomas More in Oak Creek. You played Division II ball at St. Joe's in Indiana.
Correct.
And then you finished your career at Stevens Point.
That is correct.
And then
I'm a pointer for life.
A pointer for life.
Yep.
Gotta love that. He also he's a math and science teacher at sixth grade in the Elmbrook School District.
Yep. You got
it. So, and then your assistant baseball coach at Bryant Stratton, and you, do you still help out with the Milwaukee Brewers baseball academy in the summer?
I haven't this summer. I'm still part of the academy. If time allots for it, I like to try to get over to Milwaukee Brewer Academy. Do a lot of good stuff there. It's a great venue to kind of be in connection with a lot of the high school coaches in the area. And it's fun to just be part of that whole Milwaukee Brewer Academy because they just do a fantastic job.
Oh, cool. So we got Mike Crudy here from Devil Radio and Civic Media. Mike, this is Coach Don Radomski from Waukesha North.
Nice to meet you, Mike.
Liza?
Yes.
Good to see you. Also with the family business. But Mike was wondering, how does a guy who's dedicated most of his life to baseball become a hockey dad? All 4 of your sons are hockey players.
Correct. Well, I'll tell you a quick version of that. Yeah, I knew nothing about hockey growing up in Oak Creek. I knew one kid that played hockey, played for Shaw. He was also a baseball buddy of mine. And you know, just growing up, hockey wasn't even on the radar. I don't even think we would have turned it on TV. But as I, you know, I'm a teacher, so I have my summers off and a lot of time off in the summer. And I have 4 boys, and my garage looks like a play-it-again sports. So, you know, you name it. If there's a a ball or a racket or something like that, we have it. And just the kids, when they were younger, just played everything. And we bought some rollerblades one time, and we nice. Started playing some street hockey, and they loved it. And they said, "Hey, Dad, can we learn how to skate?" I said, "All right, that was the next step." And here you know, 4 years, you know, all four boys now are, that became their kind of their number one sport, hockey. So I love it. Absolutely love it.
It is a great sport. You know, and I grew up in one of the hockey havens of America in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't play on skates, you played street hockey in the winter, actually all year round, but it was always fun in the winter. And so you would have loved, and that's as much as I love Milwaukee, great sports town. As soon as you bring up the topic of hockey, you might as well be in like Mississippi or somewhere.
You got it. But I'll tell you what, if anybody's got an itch for hockey, man, the Waukesha Wings are fantastic. That's
they
a
sure
co-op
are.
In the Waukesha area, and they are awesome to watch.
They really are.
Yeah. So anyway, shout out to the Waukesha Wings because they're going to have a successful year coming up too. Definitely. They've been successful the last couple.
So you have to help me get their coach and maybe their players on a future show closer to the hockey season.
Will do. David Kupski is the new head coach for the Waukesha Wings.
Oh, yeah, new head coach.
Yep. All right. He's been with the program for many years, but now he's just taken over as the head. So there's some great follow through and he's going to do a fantastic job with those guys.
So here's a big baseball news. You may have heard of this already. In the time we have left before the first break, the Waukesha Plan Commission in a 4-2 vote voted in favor of building a Little League baseball complex at William Oliver Park in memory of Jackson Sparks.
Wow. I did not know that. And that's awesome.
Waukesha Christmas parade tragedy. And
right.
So I was happy to see, I know there are some neighbors there that weren't real happy about having lights, but I think it's time, and it's, you know, it's our American pastime and a great way to honor this, this young boy, part of the Blazers organization. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, great way to recognize Sparks family. That's fantastic. But to get any time you're building fields, you're allowing more access to the sport and getting more kids playing, getting more kids excited about it. And more kids playing means more success down the road for all the Waukesha schools, you know, not just North, but South, Memorial, West. So that's a great thing, I think, for the city. So fantastic.
Yeah, great news all around. Calvin, how are we doing on time there, my friend? About 40 seconds. So, yeah, so when we come back with Waukesha North varsity baseball coach Don Radomski, we're going to talk about last season and some of their highlights and what they have to look forward to in the 2023 season and what Don has his baseball players doing in the offseason to hone those skills and to be fresh for next spring. So we're going to go pay some bills now, but this week in Waukesha continues here on a beautiful Saturday at the Waukesha Farmers Market. We're here in person. This week in Waukesha continues. Don, go away. I don't think that was Bob Dylan, but it is a Bob Dylan original, The Girl from the North Country. And that's an ode to Waukesha North baseball coach Don Radomski, who's my guest today. But also, we're here at the Waukesha Farmers Market. And so it is our own version of the North Country Fair. So, and it is one of my favorite Dylan songs. He does a duo with Johnny Cash on that, too. That's quite fantastic. So
I'll take your word for it. I'm not a Dylan or a Cash fan.
You don't love Johnny Cash?
I'm not a fan, but my wife's dad is a huge Cash fan. He's got, I think they might even have some Johnny Cash pictures up in their house somewhere. But I know,
you know, I wasn't as a kid, and I remember when he had his own show, and I was like, I just kind of like categorized him as country. And then one night when I was in college, we watched a lot of David Letterman when he was on NBC.
Awesome, yeah.
And he had Johnny Cash on, and he was in town for a Dylan tribute concert at Giant Stadium, and he sounded great. Like, Letterman was the guy that made her. He made or broke you. If he liked you, he was like praising Johnny Cash. He's like, here's a guy that's not only survived the test of time, but continues to thrive and dominate it. And I'm really honored to have you on my show. So I started paying closer attention to Johnny Cash and I think, you know, to call him country, he's so much more than that. As we see Caitlin Weber, the South trainer, coming in. She had a busy night last night. So she nods up and down.
Yeah, shout out to the trainers in Waukesha. They do a fantastic job.
Emmett White, her student trainer's with her too. So good to see them working together. Yeah, a lot of great wellness products here, and the great fruits and vegetables we have here at the farmers market. So, but anyway, back to you, Don. Let's talk about last season. So you guys finished 12-12, fifth place in the Classic Eight, which again, in other conferences, that might be second or first place. And then in the sectionals, one of the big feathers in your cap was that you beat West 11-5, and you had to beat them a second time to win, to kind of advance.
Yeah, I mean, let's just kind of recap the end of that year. First of all, 12-12, we were coming off of a season with 5 wins, and the year before that, I think we had 4, if I got the numbers correct. So, you know, we had some lean years, obviously, and you know, this is only my 5th year. This is my first year having all of my guys, you know, from day one as a freshman all the way through. So that the cohesiveness with the vocabulary and drill work and things like that, finally, it was great to see that hard work from my coaching staff and from the players pay off. You know, it was really a 4-year commitment for those guys. And now we want to build on that. But yeah, 12-12 last year, 5th overall in the Classic Eight, which is, if anybody knows about the Classic Eight, it's just stacked. I mean, for any sport, but baseball. Yeah. I mean, it's the everyone's number one and two are just absolutely fantastic. You're facing a fantastic pitcher every time you're going up. And then, yeah, we had to, you know, ironically, it was pretty tight going into the last week. And then we had Waukesha West twice on our regular schedule. And then the seeding came out and we had to play Waukesha West.
Good times.
Right away, first game of, you know, playoffs. So we went into West last week having to win 1 of 2. To secure our spot in 5th place in the conference. So our goal was let's win 1 of 2. And we were fortunate enough to get some breaks and had some fantastic pitching. And we were able to win 2 to end the year, which was awesome. You know, Coach Montez does a fantastic job with those guys over at West. We have a lot of respect for him and his staff and the players and the way they compose themselves. So we knew we had a big challenge on our hands. So to go in there and beat them and to beat them twice and then, okay, hey, we got to reset. You know, the whole, you know, cliche in sports, you know, hard to beat a team 3 times. And we knew that. And we did our homework and made sure that, you know, we had good scouting reports while playing them twice during the week. We kind of knew their lineup really well and we knew how we wanted to pitch. And it was a matter of execution. And our pitching staff just did a fantastic job. And guys put the bat in the ball enough to enough to get us the victory is huge.
Fantastic. Yeah.
It was fun. It was a great way to end that season. And then we ended up and we had to play Milton, who ended up winning state.
Is that right?
Our second round.
Where's Milton out of it?
Milton.
But I mean, where's that near though? I'm just trying to
think.
But you had to travel far.
We had to travel about an hour to get there. Let's just say that.
Right? Oh, is that their house?
We're at Milton. They were the number one seed. So, you know, we knew nothing about Milton besides the fact that their record was outstanding. They were number one. They had a shortstop who got signed right out of high school. He's already got signed. Fantastic. One of the best athletes that I've seen play that whole season.
Fantastic.
Their number one pitcher was fantastic. So we had a big challenge ahead and we almost squeaked that one out. We were down 4-0 going into the last inning. We ended up rallying and we put up 3 and we had to end that game. We had a guy on second base with 1 out. So we had the tying run on second and guys coming up to bat actually hit the ball fairly well. We had a hard ground ball right at the pitcher that should have been up the middle, deflected off of his, I don't know, glove or leg and bounced right at the second base and throw him out. So then we got a guy on third.
I think it bounced right to the first base. You know?
No, but still, it was one of those thing, ricochet plays that could have went anywhere. But of course, going right to the second baseman, that was just a bad break. And then, and the last guy, AJ Curtis, again, there's his name again, came up and hit a rocket line drive, took an outside pitch to second base, exactly how we taught it to do it. But again, right at the second baseman, you know, so just poor breaks. And that team went on to rally to win the whole thing. So it was nice to know that, hey, we competed with the best of the best. And we know that going into this
Something
next season.
On.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got a chance to watch your JV team play against South. And I recognize some of those kids because they played on my son's, you know, South Booster, the junior youth, the South team. And the catcher, Ian, I forget his last name.
Ian Canole, yeah,
but he'll be moving up to varsity, right?
He will. He's gonna. We're looking for really great good. Things. Yeah, we have high expectations for him. We do have another catcher, Connor Curtis, who is the younger brother of AJ Curtis. Curtis,
and he'll be in the heart of the lineup here.
Yes, he will be. We're looking. He had a fantastic season his freshman year, starting as a varsity player. We used him a lot. We ended up putting him in the fourth spot halfway through the year and just did a tremendous job. But so Connor's also a pitcher, so we're gonna need obviously another catcher back there, and Ethan does a really nice job back there. So we're looking for Ethan has not been on varsity up to this point, but I think he's going to be thrown right into the fire this upcoming season.
Sure, yeah, I think he'll manage because he really showed me something. He was always tough when he caught for us, but it looks like he added more layers to his game behind the plate.
No doubt about it.
Behind the plate and in the box at the plate.
Absolutely. And his IQ is high. I mean, he's a diehard baseball guy. Yeah. He's a hard worker. We really like him. Really like the tools he brings to the plate. Yeah.
Good kid. Yeah. I know my son and his team, they always enjoy playing with him. And there was another player on that team who was kind of a sleeper on our, had the tools, but I think there needed to be some more kind of development. The last name is it Ruben Rivera? Did I get that right? I used to talk to his dad a lot.
Well, there are two boys who are two twins, the Rivera twins. I don't know if that's what you're referring to. There's D'Angelo. There's D'Angelo Rivera and there's Doshin Rivera.
And another young man.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, though. Speaking of the Rivera
he grew
boys,
a lot.
Though,
yeah.
These boys, D'Angelo, we call them D'Lo, and Doshin, twin brothers, super athletes, fantastic kids, love them. Great family. And D'Angelo, again, last year as a
JV or
D'Angelo, we brought up to varsity. Okay. And ended up being.
We're going to go take a quick break. Sorry about that. Is that 10 seconds there, Calvin? Sorry, City. And in honor of our suffragette tradition here in Waukesha, proud that our Walk Radio studios are right around the corner from Theodora Humans Park. And it's been my mission to raise more awareness about who she was and what she meant for women and the right to vote and just Waukesha history. And I have Mayor Sean Riley to thank for that because when I was an alderman my first year in September 2019, the mayor issued a proclamation honoring Theodora Humans and her role. Wisconsin was the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment, and it was all very much in large part to her efforts as head of the state's women's suffrage movement. So,
I got to be here more often. I'm being educated here.
There you go. Yeah, you're science and math. That's your focus. So it's my job to kind of,
fantastic.
Keep the history alive. But, yeah. But Don, you heard the music and reminded him. You saw what was your last throughout the year?
Monday night we went. I took my two older boys, Gabe and Caleb. I took them to go see Alice in Chains at the amphitheater, and we rocked pretty hard. And Breaking Benjamin was on before them, and really hard band, and it was fantastic. I had school the next day, first day of school, not with the kids, but with my staff.
And
I could barely hear anybody talking to me. I had to lean in for every conversation because my ears were ringing through the day, but it was well worth it.
Sounds great. Hey, I want to give a big shout out. Johnny Watermelon's here, but he said he's not much of a baseball guy growing up in Green Bay. Big Packer fan, big football guy, big meathead. No, I'm kidding. Who doesn't love Johnny Watermelon? But Johnny's here. He's
a fan for the Brewers when they get fucking.
He loves the Brewer tailgates, and he's handing out Walk Radio stickers for us. But and Johnny's been doing a great job on color with me at the football games, even too good of a job sometimes, but Johnny's the man. So he certainly beats the heck out of Dan Dierdorf. So Don, before we got cut off there at the last break, we were talking about the D'Angelo brothers.
D'Angelo and Doshin Rivera, twins.
The Rivera twins,
yep. And D'Angelo was one of our go-tos last year, played some first base, mostly first base, played some third base. He was only a sophomore. We brought him up, we expected big things, and he surpassed our expectations. Ended up, he batted in the, 5-6 hole for us, had some real big hits, had some real big doubles and, extra bases, ribbies in key situations. So expecting some big things out of him. And then his brother Doshin was a starting shortstop on the JV level, and great hands, soft hands, knows the game well, good IQ, and we're expecting he'll be up on varsity this upcoming season and expecting some big things, because we're missing some, we're losing our middle infielder, starting middle infield, that which is huge. So we have we're losing our center fielder Spencer Robertson, who's going to play on college ball. Shout out to Spencer. He's going to be fantastic.
Where's
at the next level.
At?
Don't quote me on that. I think he's going to Platteville or Claire. I can't recall right now. But then our shortstop, Peyton Frainer, is going to play at Madison College. Peyton was our number three all around, just great baseball player. I can't wait to see what he does at the next level. And then our second baseman was our defensive player of the year, Colin Kania. And he also graduated. So we're losing our middle. So, but
it is
tough, because those guys really solidified the middle for our pitching staff, but we got other guys to fill in. I'm telling you, the guys that are coming through, we're just super excited about. We see a lot of great tools and we have some depth too there. We have some, it's not just, hey, we got to rely on this guy. If one guy goes down, I think the next guy that steps up, we have some depth, that we're really going to be relying on too. Cause you know how it goes in high school, everyone pitches too. So,
yeah,
you know, your center fielder, he's pitching. We need another center field, your shortstop, he's going to pitch. We need another shortstop. So it's so much depending on who's pitching. And so guys got to be able to move around and play multi positions. So,
yep.
And we got that. So we're looking forward to that.
That's exciting. So what, and we talked about this during the break to kind of prep you, what major league managers or maybe even coaches you had growing up that you may model yourself or take pages from their playbook in terms of your style and your approach to strategy?
Sure. I think obviously anybody who is coaching at a high school level, I don't care what sport it is, has been influenced, huge influences with their own upbringing and guiding along the way. And I was so fortunate. I went to a private school, Thomas More. And I was fortunate to have my high school coach, Joe Zalecki, and who is in the High School Hall of Fame coaching.
I said that name sounded familiar.
He's a fan. I still keep up with him on Facebook.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, still a great guy. And he was there for a long time. I think he even coached my dad, believe it or not, back in the day.
Wow.
Don Bosco, going back to Thomas More tradition, and Don Bosco before that.
Sure.
So he was around one of those guys that just staples of the community and staples of the school. I take a lot from him back when going into the high school, you know, just teaching life through baseball. And yeah, I know a lot of coaches say that, and everyone wants to have that, but to have, you know, live and breathe it and be able to have 4 years with a coach like that actually, you know, walked the walk, to teach life through baseball.
I love it.
And that's what I try to do with our guys. You know, they're dealing with pressure situations, dealing with the hard work and adversity, dealing with injuries, all that stuff, obviously.
Has Coach Zalecki been to see any of your games in person?
He has not, but he reaches out every once in a while on Facebook and just says, congrats on this. So he's watching from a distance. He's busy. He's got his own boys, and his youngest son, Mike Zalecki. I was also fortunate enough to coach with, so I played with his youngest son, Mike, and Mike went on to play some minor league baseball. And then Mike Zalecki coached at Cardinal Stritch for 13 years. And then he started the program at Brighton Stratton College, which is a newer JUCO. Yeah. In the area for baseball.
South center fielder Dominic Bell is going.
Yes, to, Dominic from South is going. That's good. That's awesome. Good. Congrats to Dominic. So I coached over at Brighton Stratton for about a year and a half before I became the coach at Waukesha North, and took some good stuff away with Mike Zalecki. And Mike was just basically a branch of his dad, Joe. So very fundamental, you know, just about detail work, not just about, you know, X's and O's necessarily, but, you know, there's a right way to do pretty much everything. There's a right way to wear your hat and put your uniform on, and there's a right way to play catch before the game, and there's a right way to compose yourself in the dugout, and there's a right way to practice. So just doing things the right way the first time and all the time. He always, you know, he used to say, you know, practice does, you know, makes practice perfect, does not make perfect, makes but perfect better. Practice makes perfect. And that's what we try to go for.
You know, and I was talking to my wife bought this the other day, because she played some rounders. You know, they call it softball for the ladies, but like rounders is my name. During COVID, I watched that Ken Burns documentary on baseball because it was free. And one of the original names for baseball, there too, is either base or it was rounders. And so I call it rounders now.
Nice.
So if you ever hear me say that, I'm not talking about cards.
I love it.
But
although we can talk about Cards too if you want. That's a passion too.
That was a great movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pay the man his money. But
every time I eat Oreo cookie, I think of that. Yeah.
Classic. So yeah, let's have some fun here since we're talking movies. Tell me your favorite baseball movie, your top three.
Wow.
And that's
I know a lot of people go to the classic Major League, and you know, I have a hard time. It's funny you mention it. I have a hard time watching baseball movies when they're not authentic, you know,
yeah.
When they have actors trying to be baseball players. And, you know, it's funny thing. I was in the movie, Mr. 3000 back in the day.
Wow.
I mean, they filmed it at Miller Park, and I was fortunate enough to have a little small role in that. And it was funny because I'm sitting from the dugout watching the director do this scene. And one of the baseball players was from the Actors Guild. He was not he was not a super athlete, but he was from the Actors Guild. So he had this set and he was up there, and they were filming this scene for about 15 minutes. And the director walked by and I said, "Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just so you know, the guy's got the wrong helmet on." So he was a right-handed batter and his ear flap on the right side. I said, baseball guys are going to catch that in the movie, you know, I'm watching movies. It's hard for me to authenticate some of the stuff that goes on. I know Major League was fun and all that, but when I'm watching it, it's hard. I don't know. I would have to probably say,
I choose Bull Durham over Major League in terms of that category.
You're right. I do like Bull Durham. I guess Field of Dreams just brings back. I like the whole dad playing catch connection.
Read the book Shoeless Joe that it's based on?
I did not.
You would love it. Make sure you do.
All right, that's a good recommendation for the summer reading.
So you know, in the movie, it's James Earl Jones.
Yep.
And he goes off to Ebbets Field. In the book, it's J.D. Salinger, wrote Catcher in the Rye, and one of the real tragedies in his life, two tragedies, when the Giants left the Polo Grounds, that was his team, and before that, when he was old enough to realize that he had no future in Major League Baseball. So that in the book, it ends with him going to the Polo Grounds. So which I love it. But my favorite baseball movie is 8 Men Out. Did you ever see about the Black Sox?
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time.
Talk about
it's been
tragedy.
A long
oh,
time.
Oh, God. There's some great. Yeah. We're going to break some. We come back there. I talk about some lines of the movie that reminded me of like why I love baseball as a kid and why I love it as a parent now that my kids are playing it. To me, it's the greatest game. As much as I love football and love watching calling games with Johnny, I'm very much a Rounders guy. So we're going to go pay some bills. But this week in Waukesha continues with Waukesha North baseball coach Don Radomski. Stick around. If I didn't play the soundtrack from one of my favorite baseball movies, very partial because it was filmed in my hometown, Buffalo, New York, The Natural with Robert Redford, Robert Duvall, Kim Basinger, Glenn Close, great cast.
That movie, that soundtrack, that's awesome. I remember I envisioned the home run and the lights crashing and rounding the bases in slow motion. It, just epic scene in that movie.
You know, there's another movie similar to it. I mean, that one's based on Ulysses, you know, the Greek tragedy. But The Rookie with Dennis Quaid was a true story of a guy who, a coach, his kids talked him into giving the pros one more shot. He had a great hit that one great year. I forget his name, but.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good movie.
Great story.
I actually introduced my youngest son, Tommy, who is going to be he's a freshman this year at Waukesha North.
Nice.
He's a baseball guru. And I'm like, hey, I gotta catch him up on some baseball movies. And we pulled out The Rookie, and he really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So tell us about your little brush with greatness at Mr. 3000. That wasn't part of the cast, but it's a bigger,
as we were talking of, yeah, this is kind of a cool thing. I mean, if you're a baseball guy, it's always fun to run into major league players, and just to be in their presence is a pretty cool thing. And yeah, a little side note, when I was on Mr. 3000, again, I think I was on that set for a week, and you know, my scene in that movie lasts about 6 seconds. So, and you better have a good pause button to actually catch me, you know. But it was pretty cool. I was on the Red Sox in that film.
That's cool.
And there was a fight scene early in the movie, and all I had to do was kind of. We cleared the benches, and it was a Disney movie, so there was no throwing punches, but just had to kind of run out and look at the, we were playing the Milwaukee Brewers, look at each other and kind of look tough. But while we were, before we were filming or as they were filming, and I'm in the dugout, we filmed after a real Milwaukee Brewers Astros game. And, that was back in the day when, you know, Jeff Bagwell was on the team for the Astros. And, I was a big fan of Bags. And, it was so cool because we were in the dugout and watching the filming going on. And I kind of turned around in the dugout and saw this, you know, this big guy standing next to me in cut off sleeves, with a stogie and a light beer. And
nobody knows who he is except you.
No, I said, Bags? Hey, what's going on, man? Oh, that was so cool. He's standing right next to me. And I got a great picture to this day. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, that's great.
Bags put his stogie on his beer and put his arm around me and took a great picture. It's a great time. Fantastic. It was fun.
So Johnny Watermelon got in a good question, but if we're giving away trade secrets here, Don, you don't have to answer this, but Johnny wanted to know, how does a coach develop his signals? You know, the nose touches, the elbows.
We look pretty goofy down there sometimes. I know people have come to the game after the game that haven't seen me coach before. They said, what the heck? How do you know all your signs? What are you doing with all the signs? I'm not going to. And Johnny's in front of me right now doing his version of coaches at third base.
It's so. Leslie Nielsen version. Yeah.
Yeah. So I get to watch the comedy act in front of me as I'm talking here. But, you know, I try to, you know, I don't want to give away obviously secrets, but to come up with, you know, there is some practice going on in the mirror sometimes to make sure that they're clear, because when kids miss signs, it always comes back to myself. Like, could I have given that sign correctly? Yeah. You know, could I make it more clear? Could I double up on it? You know, we've talked along the ways in 5 years, we've kind of developed different things to try to make it as clear, as simple as possible for the boys. They got a lot going on.
A star away to the other team, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the challenge. Try to make it simple enough for the players, because you don't want them to overthink, but at the same time, you gotta conceal it. So I'm not gonna give away the secrets, but let's just say there has been some practice and a lot of discussion along the way to come up with the signals that we come up with for now.
Here's an even better question. At the high school level, you're focused on so many things at that level with young kids. Does a coach or a coaching staff or even certain players on the team have time to study the signs from the opposing team and try to figure out what they're going to do? Is there really time? Can you really dedicate time to that?
Yes, there is.
Okay. All right. I love it.
Yes, there is. You know, especially when you get that first guy on second base, you know, we're playing defense and the opposing guy gets on second base and, you know, he's looking at the signs. A couple times this year that's been an issue where we have to, you know, call a timeout and kind of have discussion with the pitcher and the catcher and say, hey, we need to rethink this, redo this in another way. We'll go to a different kind of a sign system. We got a different alternate sign system that we use in that case. But again, the balance is always to keep things simple enough for the kids. They got so much, so many other things they're thinking about, and we don't want them to think. We want them to react. So we're trying to keep things pretty basic for those guys, but they still miss them.
Yeah.
they still miss them.
Going back to Bags.
Yes.
Jeff Bagwell, that is. Who was your favorite baseball player as a kid? That you tried to model yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I was growing up, I was a big Brewer fan as I am now. Sure. But, the 82 Brewers, Robin Yount was definitely my go-to. I think probably because my dad was a big Robin Yount fan. But just the way he carried himself on and off the field, even in the press, he was very, very articulate. He had fun while he played. He was just the center, the core of how many talented athletes they had on that squad growing up, you know, Paul Molitor and Jim Gantner and Sal Bando and Sixto, and, you know, you can keep going, Charlie Moore, you know, all those guys. But Robin Yount stood out to me as that's the guy who I want to be. You know, when I was playing in the backyard, I still to this day have, I collect hard helmets, the old, you know, regular hard helmets that you'd get at games and things like that.
Yep.
And I have all the teams represented. I got them in a box somewhere in my classroom bag. I used to hang them up all the time, and then he started cracking because they're all made of plastic. But I used to put on that Brewers hat and pretend I was Robin Yount. Gorman Thomas was another favorite. Love Gorman.
Yep.
Loved Gorman.
Yeah.
Again, just a strikeout, but when you needed a home run, he seemed to come through, you know. It was pretty cool.
Good memory,
Yeah.
I'll share a memory of Robin Yount that was unique to me growing up in Buffalo. I was visiting my uncle and aunt in the Boston area, and they took us to a Red Sox game. And this was the summer of 83. They were playing that Brewers team that was on the World Series the year before. And I remember Robin Yount even during the breaks, he was always in this like catcher's crouch. He was always low to the ground, which is something that, you know, when I coached some youth baseball and even as a player, that was so fundamental, especially a guy like me that wasn't very fast, maybe had some quickness, was staying low to the ground and seeing you out like that the entire game, even during the timeouts, that always really impressed me.
Yeah, he had that, you know, when he played, obviously before he played center field playing shortstop, and he had that creep that was unique to him as well. The creep, you know, to the pre-pitch, and kind of like a stalk,
yeah.
You know, he kind of like started predator. That with, yeah. You know, you see a lot of guys now do the you know, the pre-pitch hop.
Yeah.
And, you know, Robin Yount was one of the only guys that was kind of doing that unique crouch to pre-pitch. And that was me being a kid.
Yeah.
I would try to emulate that and, you know, try to do his batting stance. You know,
nice.
we would go through the whole lineup. My brothers and I would go through the, like, can you do Ben Ogilvy? You know, can you do Robin Yount?
Mine was always, get this stance, you might not be old enough to remember. This was me.
That looks like Ben Ogilvy right there.
It's also Mickey Rivers.
Also
a lefty and a leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
But that was I think because I was always so nervous, it helped keep me loose.
Sure.
But then I just gravitated towards one neighbor was a great hitter, taught me to just kind of turn my shoulder.
Keep that shoulder in.
Yeah.
Keep it closed off.
And then they switched me. My brothers were my coaches in my last 2 years. And they switched me to a wooden bat. That made a big difference.
Oh, sure.
So.
Well, yeah, that was the thing with Robin Yount. He's a great, I mean, to this day, I mean, you know, guys that pull off the ball, guys that want to try to yank and pull everything. Uh-huh. And Robin had that chin right on that front shoulder and kept that front side. Sure. You know, he had a close stance where it's so many guys nowadays you see are open. So many guys went to that open stance. And that's not for everybody.
No,
I think guys
really
just do it because, hey, open. But some guys never get back to that neutral or closed stance when they hit, and they can't hit anything to the right side.
So let me ask you this. It's two-part questions. One is, do you have many of your boys playing foul ball? And then number two, do you encourage foul ball, or do you rather see your boys get cross training from other sports, like football or basketball or wrestling or whatever that is?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, number one, again, at Waukesha North, it is a smaller school, smaller population. And then not only look at the smaller population of just in school, but then you look at the population that are actually playing sports, because that's a different entity. It's not like, hey, you have 1,500 kids and, you know, you have 300 of them playing a sport. You have 1,500 kids at the school and you have a very select few that are playing sports. So we have a lot of multi-sport athletes. We encourage multi-sport athletes at Waukesha North. I think that's a good buy-in from all the coaching staff, and kudos to all the coaches at North. We have an understanding that we know that these guys are pulled in a lot of different directions, and we encourage that. We know that, you know, all the different sports give something to those athletes, whether it be different lateral movements, different muscle coordination, different coaching styles, you know, so we encourage that. So as far as baseball goes in the off season, we don't do tons in the fall. Now, there are kids that play fall ball, but it's a select few because we have kids that are playing volleyball.
Sports,
We have kids that are playing football. We got kids that play soccer. So
burnout's got to be a factor, right?
No doubt about it.
Get sick of it.
We have kids that play, but we are not kind of in control of that. Those kids are kind of doing that on their own.
Sure.
So, you know, our offseason, what we bank on, number one, the strength and conditioning through the summer is absolutely fantastic. Like most of the schools that have that through the summer, the participation at North has been really outstanding. The strength and conditioning coordinators for over the last couple of years have done an excellent job. That football coaching staff really gears those guys up and inspires those guys and encourages those guys to come in and get their work done. And you can see, I mean, those guys from freshman year to senior year, you see those guys as a senior, you're like, holy cow,
you put on
some bulk.
Yep.
So that's huge for us. And then we also have a strength program that we go through that I can track on my app to see who's kind of getting to work in and see who needs like a little nudge.
Perfect. Hey, Don, we got less than a minute left. I'm really glad you joined us today. You know, last week we had offensive coordinator for Waukesha South, John Stillman, call in to talk about the previous night's games. John, as you know, is the new South varsity baseball coach. You guys haven't met. I was going to actually have him call into the show today so you guys would meet here on my show, but I'd love to have you both back because you're both middle school teachers. I think that could be a fun show. Maybe would you love to come back and see us? Maybe.
That'd be
October,
fantastic.
November, yeah.
I've heard some really good stuff about John, and congrats to John for grabbing that job. He's gonna do a nice program. I know they got some skilled athletes coming through there too. So looking forward to competing against John.
Fantastic. Waukesha North varsity baseball coach Don Radomski, thanks again for joining us. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Join us next Friday when the Black Shirts host Conemaugh, and then next Saturday. And remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. Bye for now. See ya. We'll be right back.